Welcome to the Red Caps Podcast, a podcast where we dip our caps into the blood of our listeners and we ramble on about old school games. In this episode, we are going to talk about the OGL, some rumored changes that could dramatically impact the RPG scene that we all love. So, remember, no mortal can outrun a Red Cap. And as always, I hope you can sit back, listen, and enjoy. Before we begin, I am not a lawyer and I do not play one on TV. I am a person that has spent a bunch of time looking at contracts and licenses in my professional life, but nothing that will be stated in this podcast should be taken as legal advice. A lot of this concern that's going to be generating this discussion came from leaked texts that may or may not even be real. So this entire episode may age very poorly and you should take it with giant heapings of salt. But enough covering my butt, let's get on to the show. Before we start talking about any of this, I want to get a couple of definitions out of the way, as any good contract should right up front. So the first thing we need to know is, what is the OGL? The OGL stands for Open Gaming License. You'll find this license in the back of almost all of your favorite OSR books. Go and grab one now, look at the back of it, you'll see that text. It's pretty boilerplate, but there should be, you know, some reference to it in almost all the books you have. There are some games that have come out. I know World Without Numbers and I believe Stars Without Numbers don't use the OGL. They've just, you know, released their product with enough differences that they feel that they are covered from any sort of a lawsuit for it. But typically speaking, the OGL is pretty predominant across most of the OSR scene, and you'll see it in the back of most books. With regards to this conversation, the content that the OGL allows you to use, because the OGL is just a license, it's allowing you to, it's a license to something, and the license that it's granting you is allowing you to use the text from an SRD. An SRD is a system reference document. It's a document, you can think of it as a stripped down version of the rule set. Most of the mechanics are going to be there, but some specific things like, say, monster names or spell descriptions or setting information will be taken out because that's considered copyright by the owner. The SRD is going to describe to you maybe, you know, how to roll the dice and what the mathematics behind it is. They may tell you the stats for a generic skeleton, but in the case of D&D, it's not going to give you information about the Forgotten Realms or Beholders or any specific spell, like the description of the spell. Won't be included in that SRD. So when you look at the original OGL, and it was combined with the SRD for 3.5, this brought in the entire D20 movement of books and allowed for things like the creation of Pathfinder and kind of kickstarted off the whole third-party publishing compatible with D&D in a legal sense. Later, when 4th edition came out, Wizards of the Coast decided not to take the 4th edition SRD and put it under the OGL. Instead, they created a whole new license called the GSL, Game System License. This one was much more restrictive and fundamentally incompatible with the OGL. And for that particular reason, it never really took off. There wasn't a ton of third-party publishers putting out stuff underneath that license for 4th edition. Most everybody just said, well, that's too restrictive or isn't going to work if you want to make content for both 3.x and 4e, so we're just going to make everything underneath the OGL. When 5th edition came out, Wizards of the Coast said, well, making our own separate license for 4th edition didn't work out too well, let's just continue to use the OGL. So, much like in the 3.5 days, Wizards of the Coast released D&D 5e underneath the OGL, and much like the days of D20, a ton of content got released. Wizards of the Coast also created a separate program, separate from the OGL, called the DM's Guild program, and it essentially allowed people with a few more restrictions on them to use all those trademarked items, the spells, the settings, and the monsters, and they had to sell them in certain locations, and there was various restrictions that were there, but the DM's Guild program basically said, hey, if it exists in 5e, you can use it and make something out of it. So, you may have heard that there is a new version of D&D coming out. Shocker. It's called 1D&D, or that's the code name. I think it's going to be 6th edition, but whatever, doesn't matter. And many people have been wondering, up until recently, whether Wizards of the Coast was even going to release an SRD, because there is a feeling that Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast have become much more attacking from a corporate standpoint. They're much more aggressive, and they want to control D&D a little bit more because it's made them a lot of money, and that they want to make sure they you know, attack it from all angles and get as much as they can out of it. Well, Wizards of the Coast released a statement on D&D Beyond saying that yes, there will be a SRD for one D&D, and it's going to have a license attached to it, and that license is going to be the OGL 1.1, which is different than what the license is on the back of most of your OSR books. Most of those are either going to be, if they're really old books, they'll be OGL 1.0, or if they're newer books, they'll be OGL 1.0 bracket A. So 1.1 is a whole new version, and they said on the D&D Beyond article that it's going to change a few things. One of the things that they said is that the SRD and the OGL are going to be specifically for tabletop role-playing game content in either PDF or electronic format or print books. You can no longer use that content to create, say, video games or other pieces of software or physical products like minis or novels or what have you. It has to be aimed at tabletop RPG play, specifically, you know, like a PDF or some sort of electronic form of a book and or a book. So that wasn't a huge change, but it is a definitely a change from the original OGL. And then point number two that they mentioned that was going to change is that, and this is the big one, was that the OGL is going to kind of be split into two versions, a non-commercial and a commercial. And if you are selling your products, if you're making money from them, that you'll have to report your earnings to Wizards of the Coast. And if you make over a certain amount of money, they're going to want a slice of it. Basically, you know, hey, a lot of people have made a lot of money off of D&D. We want to claw some of that back. So when that news first came out sometime late December, there was a bunch of people that were talking about it and they seemed upset. But in the OSR community, it really seemed like a lot of people were saying, well, guess I'm not going to be releasing anything underneath OGL 1.1. I'm not going to release anything using the 1D&D SRD. I will continue to do so under 3.5 and 5E SRDs and the OGL license that was attached to them, same as they've always done. And they kind of just, you know, shrugged and was like, eh, that sucks, but that's Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast, so let them do what they want to do. From this point forward, though, in the podcast, things are going to be going into the world of speculation. So whereas before, pretty much everything I said can be backed up by official sources, this is now speculation zone. Mark and Steven from the Roll for Combat YouTube channel received what they claim is a very credible block of text from the OGL 1.1. It's important to note that the OGL and the SRD have not yet been released so we haven't seen them, but this is a leaked copy of some of the text from there. I'll have links down in the show notes to both their YouTube video and a Reddit post where they discuss this a little bit more. But in the leaked text, it shows three paragraphs that contain three very interesting or controversial ideas. The first one is that if you use the OGL, you give up the right to sue Wizards of the Coast if they pull the license from you for objectionable content. This is a big change because the OGL previously had no restriction on what content you made. I would imagine that had that existed, publishers like Lamentations of the Flame Princess probably would have suffered pretty greatly underneath this. This sort of clause does exist, however, in the DM's Guild program, and again, a link to that will be down in the description, but as you'll see as we go through, a lot of the changes seem to be making OGL 1.1 really just a revised version of the DM's Guild program, more so than a revised version of the OGL. But yeah, so first point on the new OGL 1.1 is that they are going to be monitoring what the content is, and if they find it objectionable, if it's in the some sort of a category, which I would assume is going to be similar to what the categories are for the DM's Guild, then they may pull that license from you and you wouldn't be able to publish using the OGL 1.1. The second leaked paragraph notes that while you own the content that you create, you're granting Wizards of the Coast a non-exclusive, perpetual, irrevocable, worldwide, sub-licensable, royalty-free license to use that content. Basically, yes, you still own your stuff, but Wizards of the Coast can also use it however they want, is what that clause is meaning. Again, this is something very similar to what the DM's Guild does, where if you publish under the DM's Guild, Wizards of the Coast can republish your work, they can do whatever they want with it, because you're granting them a license to do so. This did not exist in the OGL. If you create, you know, if you're a publisher like, say, Chris Gonerman's Basic Fantasy RPG, Wizards of the Coast can't just go and republish that without, you know, just willy-nilly because he used the OGL. So it's just not a thing that used to be there and that they're going to be doing in OGL 1.1. And the final paragraph is what's going to have the most discussion going on around it, and that is that it's the paragraph states that the OGL 1.0 is no longer an authorized license, and that changes slash terminations of the OGL 1.1 license can be done at any point in time, assuming that 30 days notice is given. There's a bunch of discussion happening online right now about if this means that the OGL 1.0A is dead. Can Wizards of the Coast even do that legally? Is this the end of the OSR? Do you even need the OGL to publish, etc., etc.? There's a bunch of controversy and discussion happening. Here's my take on it. Again, not a lawyer, just not even a publisher, really. Just a guy with microphone. So huge heapings of salt. But given what we've seen of this 1.1 leak, and the fact that it's very incomplete, it's only a couple of paragraphs, and remembering that there is a big difference between what the license is and what the SRD is, here's my take on what's going to happen. One D&D is going to have an SRD that comes out for it. That SRD will have a license attached to it called the OGL, and I think they're using the name OGL because it has kind of a entity around it already. People know what it is and have a general good feeling about what OGL is. However, the OGL version that's going to be attached to the 1D&D SRD is going to be 1.1, and it's going to look very much like the DM's Guild Partner Program. I think the language around OGL 1.0A not being an authorized version applies to that SRD, to the 1D&D SRD. It's probably not going to end up be applied to the SRD of the previous versions. I don't think they're going to go back and try to retroactively say that 3.5 now uses OGL 1.1. They're simply saying that 1D&D OGL 1.0 does not apply to it. You have to use 1.1 OGL with that SRD. That's my take. I think that in the long term, it's going to be viewed very much like the GSL did. And I think you're going to see a lot of publishers go, nah, and not publish underneath that license agreement. Which means you'll see people continuing to use the 3.5 or 3.x and 5.1 SRDs for the foreseeable future. Now, if I'm incorrect and Wizards of the Coast does try to go back and go to those previous SRDs and update them and say that they are now licensed underneath the OGL 1.1 license rather than 1.0, I think there is going to be a bunch of serious legal concerns and a public relations nightmare coming towards them. And, you know, they definitely have the money and the lawyers to take on that fight, but I don't think they really want to. I think that especially by the time this rolls out later this year, they're going to be seeing that a lot of the popularity of D&D has peaked and has started to come back down to maybe what it really is now that the pandemic is over and what have you. And I don't think they want to rock that boat that hard. Especially with their partners and what have you, because this is going to definitely impact, their largest partners, the people like the Kobold Presses of the world and what have you. But again, not a lawyer, not a publisher, don't have complete information. And so this is all speculation, but that is my read on it. And I'd love to know yours. So please do reach out and let me know if you have a different take or different concerns or anything along those lines. I'd especially love to hear from any publishers that are out there on, you know, have they had discussions with their lawyers or their teams about what this might mean for the future? Or are they kind of like me where they're like, it's a leak, you don't know yet, you got to wait. But please do reach out, let me know. All my contact information is down in the description. All right, folks, so that's going to wrap up this episode of the Red Caps Podcast. I hope you enjoyed, you learned something, that you're eager to come back for more. www.theredcaps.net has all the links to all the ways to contact me, and I would love to hear from you. Thank you very so much for listening. And remember, never let your caps dry out. Stay safe. Have fun. We'll talk again soon.